this is a recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday, so that means Mondays, Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How about them Bucks?
Man.
The second half wasn't a great half, but they made me feel more confident going into the rest of the series.
Man, Damian Lillard, the guy was automatic.
Yeah, some of the shots he was hitting in the first half, I was jumping up and down.
He made it look easy, right?
Yeah, effortless.
And yeah, effortless is the right term. And considering how far away he was shooting the shots and the fact, Calvin, that defense was on him, it wasn't like he was just, you know, wide open.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, after he hit the buzzer beater to end the first quarter, he turned to the crowd or someone and said, "This is why you brought me here." Yeah. And that's exactly right.
Man, no question at all. And you know, man, what an exciting, like you, I held my breath because I was terrified. You know, we knew that they weren't going to continue to play at the pace they were playing and beat another team up by 35 at halftime, right?
Yeah, and the Pacers were shooting really bad in the first half. So it was going to even out.
Right.
But Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis ended up playing really good.
They really did, man. It was an exciting game. When they play again Tuesday?
Yep, Tuesday night.
Yeah, and so it's great to see they've got one. They had to win the first game, right?
Yeah, it would have been bad. They really would have been behind the eight ball if they would have lost last
night. Yeah, but you know, it's Motown Monday. I've got a lot to talk about, as always. In the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Marva Herndon, who is the president of the Milwaukee Public Schools School Board. Milwaukee Public Schools, the largest public school district in the state of Wisconsin. Calvin has 156 schools in Milwaukee Public School District, and they serve 69,000 students. It's a huge, huge district, and I've been a supporter of Milwaukee Public Schools forever. But Milwaukee Public Schools is facing some tremendous, tremendous problems, and over the last week or so, a lot of those things bubble up to the surface. And so I reached out to the school board president, and she graciously, who's a good friend, agreed to come into the studio, and we're going to have a conversation that, you know, is certainly a conversation that needs to be had. There's some tough, tough issues surrounding Milwaukee Public Schools. And so Marva Herndon and I are going to have the conversation in the 9 o'clock hour as she joins me in the studio. Again, it's Marva Herndon, president of the Milwaukee Public Schools School Board. Let me get here, Calvin. I wanted to talk, and there's so many things to get into, so I don't have any time to waste. Let's get busy. You know, Sandy and I spend a lot of time talking about, you know, early child care. And so I think sometimes, because most of us, our children are grown, we may not even understand what's going on as it relates to child care and the real issues that people are faced with, our fellow countrymen are faced with on a, you know, daily basis with child care. This is an article in today's USA Today. child care desert. In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Calvin, think about your income, what we make, and what we need our income for: shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill, and most of us, all of us, have to deal with, for the most part, those bills. But when you factor in child care, and we're talking about one child, one third of your income, it's gotten to that point, and I don't think most people in this listening audience, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, understands the impact of that. And even further, to drill down into how big an issue this is. 36% single parents pay 36% of their income for child care. Single parents are footing 36% of their income for child support. Married couples, 11%. But try to wrap your arms around, Democrat or Republican. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Love to hear your thoughts on this. This is a crisis. We can talk about all the other things. You know, we just came up with a $91 million, expenditure that we are going to put in sending weapons to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. And so the taxpayers, for the most part, agree with that. Well, okay, we got to defend these nations. How can we morally say it's okay to spend the money on that and then look inside of our own borders? We constantly talk about the borders, right? Our borders. What are we going to do? Our borders are porous, and we're concerned about our borders. But how can we not be concerned about the fact that young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with? You know, a new report says American families that pay for child care spend nearly one-third of their income on the services, and the costs continue to rise. The average household with child care bills spends $325 a week, or 18.6% of its weekly income, according to an analysis by LendingTree, a personal financial site. In Nevada, the costliest child care state, families spend 32.3% of their income, an average of $493 a week, for child care. One child. This is not only unsustainable, it certainly is something that all of us, whether or not we have children or not, whether or not, our children have long since gone and we didn't have to, and so we'll say, well, we paid it. Yeah, I paid for child care, but there's no way what we paid was equivalent to what people are paying now. It is a travesty. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, 844-967-2789, how can we not feel that pain that many of our nieces, nephews, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are grappling with? It's inexcusable. And maybe I thought that maybe if I, you know, gave you some numbers, you know, maybe you might look at it from a different perspective and say, well, it's not just the fact that they shouldn't have the children. The children are here. But how is it not beneficial to our nation that we take care and fix this problem that has been an ongoing problem for a long time? Nations like Sweden, Norway, Canada, they take care of these issues. They make sure that child care is affordable for all children. We tout the greatness of our nation. But when we ignore these types of issues, I don't know how great our nation can be. Because eventually, this issue is going to come back and cause severe damage to our nation in the long run. Calvin, what are your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right. We need to be having children in this country to continue to prosper, but people aren't going to be having kids if they're financially restricted from doing so.
There's no question whatsoever that this nation should do all that it can. Again, if we can come up with $91 million to fight wars, don't tell me we can't come up with resources to help, you know, American citizens who clearly are faced with insurmountable cost when we're talking about child care. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear from, you know, Democrats, Republicans, because this is not an issue that's solely something that Democrats should be addressing. Last time I checked, child care impacts and affects all. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Right on.
Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm talking about the cost of child care that is certainly forcing families and single parents to do some things that are really unimaginable and that my generation didn't have to deal with. Let me say this quickly before we go to the phone lines. Child care cost pushed Morgan Fry out of her Sparks, Nevada home. Fry 31 was paying $345 a week on child care for her son, who is now 5. That was half of her take-home pay from her job as a caregiver to seniors. In February 2023, poverty forced her and her son into a homeless shelter. That is what is taking place in this nation, and we must address it. Let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. How are you doing?
Good morning, Earl and Calvin. Along with the important child care that you're emphasizing, another way we can take care of the children and future generations, today we're highlighting the Earth Day that Gaylord Nelson started in 1970. A quote from him says, "Nations can recover from lost wars, witness Germany and Japan, but there's no recovery from a lost ecosystem." So ideally, we can take notice of the impact on the planet and, you know, personally take actions protecting the Earth. It's the only place we have to live. Thanks for your calling attention to this.
Hey, Mary, thank you, as always. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. When my granddaughter was born, I had always told my daughter that I would retire and I would take care of her until she got to school age. And I did exactly that. I retired. I took care of her. She didn't have to go to daycare. They wouldn't have to have that expense. Older people must get involved in this.
Yes.
I know that that we worked hard all our life and we would like to kick back, but now is not the time. Our children and our children's children are going to feel the pressure of not having a good education. If we don't take care of our children, educate our children, we are going to fall so far behind all the rest of the countries in this world, and we will have nothing. We will be actually the shit country Trump always talks about. So what we have to do is get everybody together. Us retirees, where I live in Kenosha, people have volunteered to go to school to help children learn how to read. Reading is the first step. And from there, we can, if we all get together and we give of ourselves, because we actually came at a great time in our lives, and we benefited from that. Now it's our turn to give back from everything that we receive.
Hey, Susan, I agree with you totally. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, Mary is an absolute gem and love her to death. Thank you, Mary, for always contributing. Second, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's us who makes the decisions in terms of what happens. Third is that, Earl, this is exactly what I talked about, which is I always say CHTR, which is child care, health care, taxes, and mortgage or rent. Those four indices equal about $64,000 a year, $16,000 each indice. And when you look at that, the average person is not making $64,000 a year. My question to the politicians out there, to the people that work for us, is how the heck do you expect people to make it? And just one last thing again, because it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, but it does matter who it is that you vote for. I challenge anyone in your audience, call up and say one policy that Republicans have passed in the past 50 years that has helped the middle class or has helped the under the middle class. I challenge anybody to do that, because I can definitely think of Democratic policies that do that, but I'd love to know what Republican policies. No one's ever been able to call up and say what it is.
Well, Tom, the truth, Tom, is clearly that Democrats have pushed for child care for decades, and it is Republicans who have clearly decided against it. And I don't understand why, right? I don't understand why. Go ahead, John.
I don't understand why people keep voting against their best interest. Why it is that people that are under middle class, or even the middle class, and middle class probably nowadays is $250,000 a year. But I don't know why it is that people keep voting against their best interest, except for the fact of shows like yours that can point out what party it is that actually is voting this way, and maybe push the Republican Party to start voting in favor of the middle class and the under, you know, middle class. So, you know, I just don't understand it, because the push has got to come from us. But if we keep on electing the same people, that's the definition of insanity.
Hey, Tom, so, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. Whatever happened to the words family planning?
Okay.
When I moved to Milwaukee, I had five kids. Three were in school, two were not. My wife and I sat down and decided, even though she had a degree, that until all of the children were in school, her job was to be at home and help raise the children. And I did what I had to do to support my family. Whatever happened to marriage? Part of this problem is all of the single parents. It took two people to make that baby. It takes two people to raise it. And some of this is ludicrous because of the fact that people are looking for the government to do for them rather than them doing for the government. As Tom says, we are the government, the people.
So Al, you know, let me push back a little bit on that. So children have nothing to do with any of that. They come into the world and they don't get to pick who their parents are going to be. Just do me a favor. Hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. I was going to end this subject, but I can't let it end there. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into Motown Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. Keep my love going
higher and higher. I said, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. About your past, I just want a love to last. I don't care, darling, about your thoughts. I just want to satisfy your thoughts.
On the Earl Ingram Show, and you know, Motown Monday, and you know, none other than the godfather of soul himself, James Brown. Welcome back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I was having a discussion about the cost of child care, and that is really saddling many, you know, families. It doesn't matter, you know, where you live for the most part. It doesn't matter. This conversation impacts families in Madison and Racine and Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Eau Claire, Richland Center, Nevada, New Jersey, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Wisconsin, Michigan, Oregon, Montana. It doesn't matter. It's a tough situation. Nevada, on average, $493 per week is the cost of child care. In Wisconsin, the average cost of child care is $380 per week. Now, I asked Al to hang on because Al's position was, well, you know, people should have planned. And, you know, and so, you know, they didn't, he and his wife did. And that's great, Al, that you were able to do it. My parents had 13 children. And I guarantee you that if childcare, the cost was anywhere near the cost of what childcare is today, it just so happens that my mother stayed home to raise all of us. And what made that possible was the fact that my dad worked at a place that paid enough money, Al, that she could do that, that his salary was enough to support an entire family of 13. Well, let's talk about a couple things, Al, before I bring you back on. Right now, divorce in this country is almost one out of two. And even if there was families who could, you know, afford childcare once the divorce came into existence, now that's a completely different story. And the point I'm trying to make to you, Al, is, you know, the children have nothing to do with that. And so it's not beneficial for our nation to know that this is a horrible, horrible spot. Long term, the development of children, nothing should be more important than that, Al, in our society. Al, your response.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you that pre-planning is the key. And you're talking about the divorce rate. Look at the rate of single parenting, of people having children out of wedlock.
That it's down, Al. It's down.
The last time I was in D.C., I talked to the governor of Maryland, who put on a speech about the debt of child support. And she said over $10 billion was owed in arrears in child support. And the average person owing that money earned less than $10,000 a year. That's not enough money right. to take care of yourself, much less take care of a family or a child. But as I said, when my wife and I decided to have additional children, we planned to make sure that I got to work where it would support the family, and we were married, and she stayed home and took care of the kids until all of the children were in school. Then she went to work and assisted me in income for the family. I've got grandkids who are single parents, and I read their books because of the fact that if you're in such in love that you want to get out here and make a child, you should be married.
Hey,
I believe that, and that's how I live.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call, as always. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
First of all, happy Motown Monday. There's nothing like turning on the radio and listening to James Brown first thing on the truck or on a Monday morning.
No,
thank you for that very much. Right. I enjoy it. You know, in all of us, you know, there's all kinds of slivers of truth and all kinds of things that people say, but I think, for me, anyway, it's the realization that we're in an era, and we have been since 1980, where it's profits over public policy. It's profits over national interests. It's profits over national security. You know, we've seen us export sensitive technology to Indochina. Why? Because it's cheaper. You know, this economic negative wave that we've seen really attack the middle class since the 80s. This is an era when we went from solving problems to now pointing the finger at government and saying government is the problem. That's what our leadership did. And I got to say, when you're seeing tent cities pop up in La Crosse, in even small towns like Ladysmith and Bloomer, you know, that's a canary in the coal mine. for everybody to recognize that, you know, this inequity and the fact that since 1980, the productivity gains from manufacturing from corporate America have exploded. Unfortunately, zero, less than 1% since 1980 has found its way to the middle class. So this, you know, by a slice at a time, by a, you know, a drop at a time, this system of trickle down hasn't, and that's ultimately the I think the culprit, the economic culprit of you know, these tough times that we're in. And the last point I'd like to make very quickly is, if we had the same tax strategies when there are plenty of millionaires, plenty of rich people, but also a great infrastructure and long-term economic planning for our communities. If we'd had the same taxes, now the middle class would be making $38,000 more per year. And we'd still have plenty of rich people, plenty of millionaires. But no, we had this trickle-down failure that is not called out for enough, in my opinion, for what it is. It is global economics. And again, when you remove an automotive industry or, you know, attack it and ship off most of the jobs to Mexico and China, when it used to be, as Detroit went, so did America.
As General Motors went, so correct.
That's the first clue, isn't it?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, that's the reality of it. You know, if we get too close to some of these things, we get kind of caught up in some of the minutia. But when you step away and you look at it and look at it from a big picture perspective, it couldn't be more obvious what the culprit is, where the responsibility, you know,
So, Mike, hang on a second. So you just talked about the homelessness. I was bringing this up. This was another one of my subjects. Supreme Court today has taken up homelessness as record numbers of Americans lack permanent housing. Now, so the fact that record numbers of Americans lack permanent housing is a calumny, man, on our nation. When you talk about the fact that Americans, again, when I was a young man, that didn't exist. But you just stated different parts of the state of Wisconsin that homelessness exists. Most times people would think of homelessness and you would think of big cities. You wouldn't think of homelessness in rural areas, but there is something that is going on inside of our nation, Mike, that people aren't willing to accept and to look at, because they're saying, hey, those people who are in that condition are people who are failures, people who don't work hard enough. And we make all kind of excuses for why these families are now homeless, as opposed to, as you stated, looking at the policies over the last three decades that have brought about this reality. And I clearly wanted to talk with people, and we'll talk with people. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What we have to think about these things, Mike, in order to fix them. We can't just totally dismiss that there are these encampments of people, many of them who once were employed and once owned homes, and say that, you know, it's because they're sorry. No, there is, as you stated, something changed inside of our nation that we need to fight really hard, Mike, to turn around.
Well, it's for adults to solve if we accept the fact that it's our role in a republic. The problem is we have this huge misinformation campaign that's dominating parts of our media, and that group that succumbed to that, they buy into it hook, line, and sinker, when, quite frankly, in a media where they have a fiduciary responsibility to be fact-based and truth-laden, most of those arguments can be shot down in seconds. But no, we're caught in this divide-and-conquer era, and we're all seeing it right in front of our eyes.
You know, Mike, you listen to my show, and I appreciate it. And every day that I come before this audience, I want to bring relevant topics. So that's the whole purpose, is to make sure that I bring relevant topics that will force the American people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, to take a look at what is happening and not be so quick to respond about what are the shortcomings of people, but that there's a society, that there's a, things have changed, Mike, from the time you and I were young, and we've got to address that.
We used to have an obligation to take care of our aging infrastructure. When we learned that we have water piping and bridges that are 10 or 20 or 30 years expired in their useful time, and we still do nothing, but you know, oh well, can't turn a blind eye. No. It's our role to support public policy. It's our role as in media's role also to support public policy, because quite frankly, public airwaves is public policy. And if public airwaves are being weaponized and misinformation being pumped through there 24/7, then we got to deal with that.
Hey,
and deal with it as a republic.
Hey, Mike, thank you as always, man. Really enjoy having you on. 844-967-2789. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
I think I'll cut it off right here. One.
Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Wake up. Motown Monday, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, talking about a couple different things, you know, the continued escalation in the cost of child care for, you know, the American people, and also homelessness that continues to escalate in this nation. Let's go to Tim from McClare. Hey, good morning to you, Tim. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Your last caller has hit the nail right on the head. He was mentioning Ladysmith, Wisconsin. I have friends that live in Ladysmith, and they just told me that there's a window factory up in that area, Geldwin, which is going to close, which is going to affect about 300 workers. So multiply that by the families involved. You know, you probably got thousands.
Right.
And I guess their reason was, well, the logistics getting supplies and stuff are too great. And they're moving them to they're just closing them down and moving them to a couple bigger cities, not in Wisconsin, but other places in the U.S. So, you know, it just keeps adding on and adding on. The bottom line is the only thing that counts anymore.
You know, Tim, the frustrations. And again, you know, I tell those who, you know, who've listened to me for some time that that's what happened to me. I worked in the auto industry. And, you know, the auto industry is, as Mike from Kenosha said, so goes General Motors, so goes America. And that's the way, and Ford and Chrysler. And we remember those things well because they helped shape what the nation was. And so now these things are long gone. You know, the paper mills in rural areas and all of those things, and people are struggling. And yes, and they have a right to be angry. But my thing is, okay, we see this all over the nation with homeless people in homeless encampments. We never saw that before, not in my 70 years of living. So look at it now, Tim. Something has happened. And so Democrat or Republican, this has to be fixed. It has to be prioritized. And it has to be one of the number one priorities of our nation to address it. We can't say we got it done. We got the $91 million of aid that we're going to give to Ukraine and Israel and, again, Taiwan. But then these real issues that impact and affect the American people on this land is totally ignored. Well, if we're fortunate enough, Tim, as I am, that I'm not facing homelessness, but that doesn't mean I don't understand what other people are dealing with. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, you're right. Yeah, you know, it's just, where does it, we got to do something about that. And the Republicans, seems like they say, well, the churches and everything should be handling this. You know, that's their job. Well, they can't do it all either, you know.
No, it's a government. The government has a, because, you know, let's say that the government doesn't do it, Tim. What happens? Hey, Tim, thank you very much for the call, as always. Thank you for listening. Tell somebody about Civic Media. Tell somebody about the Earl Ingram Show. Let's go to Al Holmes. Al, you're back.
Yes, you keep saying millions. That was billions, $91 billion.
Oh, yeah, $91 billion.
Going
that's,
to the war effort.
That's exactly what I mean, $91 billion. Thanks for correcting
the
me.
The other part of this, wait, the other part of this is when you look at homelessness.
Veterans.
Everybody forgets about the veterans.
No, I know.
And when I was vice president of the Center for Veterans Issues, we did research and found out that almost 25 to 40% of the people who are homeless in this country are honorably discharged veterans. And that's ridiculous.
You know, Al, it is ridiculous. But you add to that families. You know, it's always been an ongoing issue with the veterans, Al, and the great work that you've done with veterans. But it's always been there for veterans, sleeping under bridges and eating out of garbage cans. And we say, oh, we love the veterans, right? It's Veterans Day. I support the veterans. If we really did support the veterans, Al, we would do a better job. If we really did support families in this nation, we would do what it takes to make sure that people have dignity and respect in a nation that is the wealthiest on earth. I'm sorry. Billionaires and people owning, you know, $280 billion, $300 billion. A couple of them could get together and put things in place that we can end homeless families with no problem if we thought it was important enough. Al, thank you very much for the call. So, I'm going to be joined by Marva Herndon, who is the president of Milwaukee Public Schools, of the school board and of Milwaukee Public Schools. And we're going to have a timely conversation to address some real tough focus problems that impact and affect Milwaukee Public Schools. It's really a tough situation that we're faced with. Marva Herndon, who is the president of the Milwaukee Public Schools School Board, up next on a Motown Monday on the Earl England Show.